Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a new edition of the WTF Files. We are live in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and as a consequence of our being live today, this is why I'm actually more than a few minutes late. Sorry about that. Last minute show kind of thing and all. And I'm still going through all the pictures that I dumped already onto the dreaded Book of Face. So this is the DEFCON 27 voting village slash the decompression. And I say that specifically because most hacker cons are usually an intensive learning experience. You got some high quality talks followed by maybe some extracurricular activities, and there's usually various amounts of alcohol consumption at the end of the day. This con was not like that. DEFCON 27 is the biggest hacker convention in the United States and could well be the biggest one in the world. They had roughly 28,500 electronic badges that were sold out in the first day. So at the very least, I'm going to estimate there were 30,000 people clamoring around between four different hotels out in Las Vegas. I believe they were the Flamingo, which is where the ham radio stuff was, the Bally and Paris, two major hotels next to each other that had their own DEF CON things going on, and Planet Hollywood, which was about a block or so south of the Paris. And I also believe there were other locations. I believe I seen the Alexis Park mentioned once or twice. I did not visit that place, at least not since 2002. But my point being is that this conference, and I call it that loosely, is very large and very well populated. And it had the most popular talks, and I barely got to see any of them. My primary focus, as I have been saying here on previous editions of this show, as well as the GoFundMe and my various appearances around the dreaded Book of Face, is that my intention was to go there for the voting village. And I will report on that momentarily. The voting village was a big part of what I did, and I took so many different pictures, well over 500, well, maybe almost 500 altogether, roughly 200 of them, roughly a third, are pictures of the various voting machine porn that I found with its innards all splayed out. And I'm looking at a picture right now, a 15 megahertz chip that was soldered into one board. The whole idea of my trip to DEF CON was to intend to hack the voting machines with RF to either see if a vote can be flipped or, more likely, a denial of service condition can be created. I tried. Oh, God, did I try. I tried before I got out there. I took a few toys with me. I even tried out there, and I posted a picture of this advertisement that I posted out there once I got acclimated to the 115 degrees of the city of Lost Wages. So I didn't have anything RF I could throw at it. So I put out an advertisement for something. Either a signal generator would have been great, or a hack RF or a blade RF type device, a software-defined receiver that is capable of transmitting at certain frequencies. Now, as it turned out, I did get my hands on a hack RF unit. It's a $300 software-defined radio, and it looked like such a wonderful toy, and I was trying to play with it. Before that point, though, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I did actually obtain a cheap SDR dongle for like $25. Spent about 3 hours with that, only to discover that it didn't transmit unless I did some serious modification to the printed circuit board, which I was not prepared to do while I was out at DEF CON. And in fact, I may decide to mod it down the road. But at that point, didn't work. So I put out the advertisement for some other type of RF injection technology. I tried to enlist the ham radio village, which in the grand scheme of things, the ham radio village and the voter village, the voting machine village, are on polar opposite ends of the con. The ham radio village was like on the second or third floor, I think, of the Flamingo. And the voting village was like a block away. So I'm having to go through those two points in a while in 110 degree heat, carrying my bags with me because I didn't get a room out there. I'll explain that here as well momentarily. I had a deposit go into my GoFundMe the day I got on the bus to go out there. So when I went out to DEF CON, I had the bus ticket taken care of, and I had my $300 to get in the front door taken care of, but I had very little else. So I was practically bumming it out there. I had my red laptop bag with a few select toys in there, and I had a rolling suitcase with 3 days' worth of clothes and some more toys, and maybe I threw in some canned goods and such to help me out. I was expecting that, and as it was, I ended up towing it around everywhere because the deposit that I got in my GoFundMe on Monday did not get into my account until 4:30 a.m. that Thursday morning. So at 5 a.m. that Thursday morning, shortly after I found out, the first thing I did was I went and I ate something. I ate some solid food because before that point, I was living on trail mix and granola bars, which, well, luckily, I didn't join the prune movement back at that time. And I'm glad I didn't join the prune movement because that would have been complicated enough as it was. So it was on the morning of the 8th that it happened, that I got that money. Shortly before that point, I think it was on the 7th, that was LineCon when I got out there. LineCon is a group of people who are basically standing in line waiting for the tickets to open up the next morning. And it's kind of sort of like waiting at a rock concert in line for rock concert tickets, or God forbid, a Black Friday event, which I haven't participated in about 10 years. But some of those Black Friday events were pretty much like this LineCon. Maybe 500-600 people all gathered up, totally bored out of their skulls. Next thing you know, we're playing volleyball with random people and wherever the ball would go. And I ended up getting hit in the ass a couple of times when I tried to lay down and catch some Z's. One big complaint I had about that, I think the carpet out there had bed bugs because when I woke up to go check my GoFundMe, I had all these bite marks on my legs, and the only place it could have came from was the carpet at the Paris Hotel. I did not tell them that yet. I should tell them that, though, because this is the kind of information they want to know. So I get my money Thursday morning, and I try to ask about for a room. The Bally and Paris both wanted something along the lines of $300 a night. I could not afford that, even with the money I got from the GoFundMe. They suggested I go off property for a little bit. So I went off property, and I went about maybe 4 blocks east of the Strip, and I found a hotel that would let me use their room for 6 hours with a cost of like $89. I think that was more like one of those rooms where you take your ladies of the evening and they rent them by the hour, maybe. I don't know. Wasn't interested in that. All I wanted was a nice place to sleep for a few hours and clean sheets and a decent shower. So I got my decent shower, got all that, and went to rejoin. And that was the last time I got any decent sleep because I had to stay awake the rest of the con in order to be able to function as well as I did. I'm surprised I functioned as well as I did. I more or less camped out in the restaurant section and drank lots of coffee and lots of coffee. And I ate normally, which was a good thing in and of itself. I tried contacting one or two people out there that I had known before, and they ghosted me. I wanted to see if I could room in with them. I was going to give them cash money. I'm not going to mention their names. I actually took a quick taxi up to Henderson, a small little suburb just north of Las Vegas. I went looking for somebody, didn't find her, gave up on that, came back to the hotels and carried on. So, back to the story about the RF. I got my hands on a hack RF device. A fellow graciously donated it. And I sat down, I think it was Saturday I got the hack RF. So Saturday night I sat down and I tried to study it. And unfortunately, I could not RTFM in time. RTFM. Originally it meant read the fucking manual, or it, in a nice way, it could be read as read the fine manual. So I was attempting to read the fine manual and failing miserably. And I gave up after I discovered that the hack RF unit would have tuned the right frequency, but the output power was less than a quarter of a watt, which I thought was kind of sort of low to where it might not induce any kind of change, let alone any kind of denial of service. So in that respect, I failed, and I'm sorry. I tried, oh God, did I try like hell. But I did make lots of other discoveries that will allow me to replicate that here in the near future. Now, this Thursday night, I'm going to record a special edition video of this. There's a place here in Allentown. I'm going to experiment with some plain old-fashioned computers. And I can do that now because of all the pictures that I did manage to take at the DEF CON 27 Voting Village, which I already posted on the show's page on the dreaded Book of Face. And I left the address in the description for this particular episode. The address is there. So all you have to do is to go to that Facebook page, click on the photos thing on the left-hand side, and you will see four photo albums that I uploaded. Inbound trip pics, outbound trip pics. Yeah, I like landscaping pics. That's why I put them all separately. Now, the other two albums that I posted were the ones with the at the voting machine village, and I took all kinds of pictures. I discovered a majority of the units, for example, have embedded 386 processors, which is why other people were able to upload Nyan Cat, and somebody else had an old DOS Tetris game playing on it, which works fine on a 386. This is a good thing. But I took pictures of that. I took pictures of the circuit boards. There are various oscillator chips, for example. I got a very nice picture of an old crystal of the kind that used to be used in crystal police radios. This one being exactly 15 megahertz. It's a clock chip. Right outside of a so far unidentified CPU. There's the 386EX, 25 megahertz, with a copyright date of 91 on it. There are so many different other pictures that I took. It's going to take weeks to go through them all. But with all these pictures that I posted online, it will be able to identify the chips now. Anybody can do this. Take a look, identify the chips. If you want to write in a comment, or a note or anything like that, please do. I'm going to spread this out to other people so that other people far more knowledgeable than me can take a look at these chips. I still believe that a denial of service condition can be created easily enough, but what I don't know is if a vote can be flipped. Now, unfortunately, the DEF CON voting village is closed for this year, and experimentation would be extremely challenging. But I can do this elsewhere. I have access to a signal generator here in Allentown that I actually gave away once before to somebody, and I'm pretty sure they'll let me borrow it back for this purpose. I need to get my hands on what I would consider a disposable computer, an older one, preferably unshielded. These computers, these voting machines at the voting machine village itself are not shielded, or they're very little shielding involved, which would be apparent if you would take a look at some of the pictures. I mean, here's a circuit board I'm looking at, for example, with a 5x5 inch piece of stainless steel shielding over part of the motherboard. Not the part that looks like a modem speaker, though. But there's all sorts of other things. There was modems, and there were NICs, and there's a wireless NIC in one, and God knows what else I took a picture of in here. There are parallel ports. There are printer ports. There are covered USB ports. The tabulator had a belt drive of some kind. Not the tabulator, the counter, I'm guessing it is. I took lots of voting machine porn pictures of that as well. ES&S model 1650. Now, the fourth photo album that I uploaded, and I apologize for doing this so late, is of the voting machine show that I attended at the Pennsylvania State Farm Show Complex, April 26, 2018. I was there with my friend Robert Trotner, and I had my toys with me. I had them in a bag that was labeled Hacker Inside. When the Assistant Secretary of State discovered I was wearing that bag, she had a major oh shit moment and decided to give me a press pass, whereas before I did not ask for one. I'm not working for any major press agency. I'm just, doing this for my three favorite guys, me, myself, and I. The only people in this world I guess I can really trust. So they gave me that, and I went about, and I did some interviews. I did not upload the videos to that yet. I will do that soon, I promise. But I did upload all the pictures from that, maybe 100 and some pictures of all the various machines, including the new ES&S Express Vote VL, which I did take a picture of the Part 15 certification sticker of that. And I think there's a hidden USB port on that one as well. The loser of that particular show or of that particular event is Dominion Voting. Dominion Voting's tabulating machine was running a unactivated copy of Windows 10. And this is the only time I actually touched the machine down there is when I went to press the Windows logo key and the pause break button, which is a keyboard shortcut that would give you the system properties screen. So that's how I was able to see that, A, their machine was running Windows 10, and B, that it was unactivated. Nice way to show off, guys, at a show at a trade show. And this is the same group of voting machines that has been accepted in Georgia. So they're basically jumping out of the frying pan into the fire using a tabulator running Windows 10 that technically is supported by Microsoft but is totally pwned seven ways to Sunday. This would be an unacceptable device as far as I'm concerned. And in fact, long story short, we need to go back to paper ballots. This is what I told Congressman Eric Swalwell, who led a discussion at the Voting Village. It was a voting machine talk, and I got to see some of the talks, and I got to see him, and I got to ask him my question. I was the second questioner in there, and I'm sad to say there is no video of it. They discourage video for obvious reasons if you're a DEF CON fan or anything like that. I did get a picture, however. The only picture I took of myself and another person, I had his permission. So those are the only two faces you'll see out of all the pictures that I took at DEF CON, because the Dark Tangent doesn't like crowd sweeps or anything like that. And in fact, he threw out a crew from NBC News during the con because they were panning the crowd with their cameras. And that's a big no-no. The Dark Tangent frowns upon that kind of activity, and I knew that 20 years ago, so that's why I didn't do it. But anyhow, back to the story with Eric Swalwell, whom I hope is listening. I attempted to explain to him that, first off, my question was simple. My question was, would you support a return to using paper ballots? And he started going off on a tangent about how he believes that paper ballots would increase the waiting time in line for people to vote. And I gently reminded him that's not the way it worked when we did have paper ballots. When we had those punch card thingamabobs here in Lehigh County, the lines were accounted for. They were predicted on solid numbers. And I can't remember in all the times that when we used paper ballots before, if there were, in fact, any long lines. I don't remember any long lines. I was a poll worker back then. I worked polls. I was a judge of elections. I was a minority inspector. I was a majority inspector. I did all that stuff until 2016, when the Jill Stein recount came to Allentown. I led that effort here in Allentown, and I posted the results of that on realchange.us, something along the lines of the elections here in Lehigh County can be pwned. Let me count the ways. And I haven't been a poll worker since. So getting back to the story with Eric Swalwell, I attempted to explain to him that this does not necessarily have to happen. And I met up with him a couple of other times. I sat in on a conversation between him, Harry Hursty, and Professor Matt Blaze, who are the primary motivators of the voting village. Now, Harry Hursty made this movie, Hacking Democracy, back in 2008, I think it was. And Professor Matt Blaze is a computer science professor now at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And as an aside, he's also running, at least he was, running the Tor Project. He's an awesome guy to speak with, highly intelligent. I could sit down and converse with him for hours, and I could follow along with everything he said. So they had their input with him as well. Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon showed up to the conference. Unfortunately, by the time I got to the line to hear him in the track room, the line was too long. The firemen came by, said there were too many people in the hallway, and they had to clear out, and I missed my chance to talk with Ron Wyden, probably because the hotel was too scattered off with four different events going on, four different places. It saddened me that all the talks that were interesting that I missed, that I'm going to have to catch up after the fact. But like I said, I took plenty of pictures. I came back with a few toys, and I got a whole bunch of other stuff that I still have to go through yet. So I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow. That's pretty much all for me today for this live special edition of the DEF CON 27 Voting Village, the decompression. I'm still decompressing, even though I got back, last Thursday, and I'm trying to get it all together and such, and it still boggles my mind the amount of stuff that I learned out there that I'm still going through, all the notes that I made. I got a sticker here that says the Dark Tangent is a Time Lord, and he has a TARDIS. Dark Tangent, if you can hear me, can I borrow your TARDIS? I only need it once. Let me know. So with that, I think I'll end off here for today. Thank you very much for joining me here on this latest edition of the WTF Files with Lewis Shoup. And please join me tomorrow for part two of the decompression. Thank you for joining me, and have a nice day.